Yes, they're supposed to be.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to the Portland City Council Chambers. We're glad that you're here. We have three pre-gavel special recognitions and proclamations. The first one is the Rotary's Peace, Understanding, and Goodwill Day. And is do we have representatives?
Yes.
Ah, great. Come on up, have a seat while I read the proclamation. Yeah, please have a seat. Yeah, welcome. So go ahead and sit down. Whereas the Rotary Community Peace Credo states, respect for cultural diversity and the life and dignity of every person without discrimination or prejudice, resolution of conflict within local and global communities, and the reconciliation of differences in the pursuit of harmony. And whereas the Rotary Peace Community of Portland and the City of Portland join together to promote peace, understanding, and goodwill between our residents and in communities around the world by resolving to share our time and material resources in a spirit of generosity, to put an end to exclusion, injustice, and political and economic oppression, defend freedom of expression and cultural diversity, giving preference always to dialogue and listening rather than fanaticism, defamation, and the rejection of others. Promote consumer behavior that is responsible and development practices that respect all forms of life and preserve the balance of nature on the planet, and contribute to the development of our community with the full participation of all people, and respect for democratic principles in order to create solidarity together. Now, therefore, I, Sam Adams, Mayor of the City of Portland, Oregon, the City of Roses, do hereby proclaim November 7th, 2011, to be Peace, Understanding, and Goodwill Day in Portland, and encourage all residents to observe this day. Thank you.
May I have just a moment, Your Honor. I think appreciate your signing this, and I also want to respect Veterans Day and to introduce a couple of my colleagues on the Peace Committee. Al Jubitz is actually the chairman of the Rotary District Peace Committee, and I'm on his committee. Anne O'Neill, executive of IEEE, is also a Peace co-chairman. And Lou Roger is the president of the Pearl Rotary. And Don Smith is a past president and our communication person. So, thank you guys for being here, of course. And we also have here on our program, anybody would like a brochure? We brought a few brochures. It's going to be the 4th of February at Portland State. And it's going to be a lot of fun, and we're celebrating Peace through Education.
So. Well, thank you for being here. Thank you, Al. So let's see. I'm also pleased to recognize today that the Government Finance Officers Association of the United States and Canada has presented an award of financial reporting and achievement to the Accounting Division of the Bureau of Financial Services in the City of Portland. Do you want to come up here a minute and say a few words?
Mayor Adams, I'm Rich Garrett, the city's chief financial officer, and I have with me Jane Kingston, the city's controller.
Good morning.
Good morning.
And every year we go through our financial audit, but the city does one thing beyond that, and it submits its financial statements to the Government Finance Officers Association for a separate review. And they look at it through the lens of how the statements display information, transparency, and full disclosure. And I'm happy to say that for the last set of financial statements, we once again received the Certificate of Excellence in Financial Achievement for the presentation of financial statements. And what makes this a little more significant is that this is the 30th year that the city has received this award. So we've brought with us our team, our technical accounting team, who do the heavy lifting in making sure that every year our statements are the best that they can be and receive this this award for excellence. And we have behind us here our technical accounting team. If I could ask them to stand up for a second.
And again, thank you very much. Thank you very much, and congratulations. All right, you're welcome to stay and watch the magic of local democracy happens. You're also welcome to get up and leave. We will not be offended if you have other things that you need to be doing. Thank you for spending some time with us today. All right. Today is Wednesday, November 2nd, 2011. It is 9:30 a.m., and City Council will come to order. Carla, how are you?
Well, thank you.
Chilly out there, isn't it?
Yes.
Can you please call the roll?
Leonard?
Here.
Fritz?
Here.
Fish?
Here.
Saltzman?
Here.
Adams?
Here. Quorum is present. We'll proceed beginning with communications. Can you please read the title to 1139?
Request of Roger J. Meyer to address Council regarding presentation of Portland Peace Proclamation.
Oh, we did. Yeah.
Oh, that was.
So we did the Peace Proclamation. Can you please read the title for 1140?
Request of Michael Krupp to address Council regarding the salient issues of Portland City Government.
Hello, Council. I have a nice speech. Favorable to everybody. Mayor Adams, you have done something so unique that history will record the fact that it is here in Portland where the government began to once again speak for the people. Despite the obvious monetary bullying to the contrary, you chose to tolerate the Occupy movement. In so doing, you have both upheld the peace and clearly demonstrated the necessary direction the government must take from here on in. Although the DBA actually demanded publicly that you disband that encampment, you chose tolerance. As a result, we have peace. Clearly, you and Chief Reese devised a strategy that works so well, it shines and results in a very safe environment, one favorable to tourism, our best hope for economic recovery here. Of course, the DBA will also benefit from the increased business they will have to suffer. It just didn't happen their way through monetary bullying and threats. It is here now where corporate personhood will begin to feel what human personhood has become, to have their corporate wishes weighed on the scale of human needs, no longer attended to in backroom deals. Money can growl all it wants, but the growls of the many empty bellies drown it out. You might take this opportunity to point out that the police are primarily protecting the occupiers. Lieutenant Robert King informed me weeks ago that the only calls received, and there were many of them, were as to when will the police start using violence and could they help? And then there's the strange case of the disappearing rally and demonstration. Held in Pioneer Courthouse Square last week, there were speakers and performers who included a U.S. senator, a congressman, and leaders of various communities, both secular and otherwise. Storm Large led the crowd in many great American songs. The crowd were packed like sardines, with more pressing in from the sidewalk. They sang enthusiastically to Woody Guthrie and many other great American songs. Pink Martini was there in force, and there were four police officers, three on foot and a sergeant sitting in a patrol car parked. The rally was well over an hour without incident. Thousands of demonstrators were left unattended and trusted. This trust was rewarded by civility. God bless America, a significant event, if not unprecedented. But no press, none, no helicopters showing the huge attendance, or the virtual complete absence of police, which is rather unique. Almost 2 hours of 5,000 plus demonstrators successfully airing their grievances, and not a word from Murdoch or Newhouse or Channel 8 underfoot. This may come as a shock, but media is the child of Medusa, but with wires and towers for hair, a halo of satellites, and death with suffering as its raison d'etre.
Thank you, sir. Can you please read the title for item 1141?
Request of Scott Somahano to address Council regarding livability, odor, and health issues related to water truck service.
Mr. Somahano. Hi, welcome. Please have a seat.
All right, thank you very much. All right. Hi, my name is Scott Somahano. I am a resident of Northeast Portland. I live at 4523 Northeast 89th. I am the current chair of Sumner Neighborhood Association. Hopefully you have a copy of this handout. If you flip it to the back page, you can see they have a map of Sumner neighborhood and where it is. We're basically, if you head out Sandy Boulevard eastbound, we are the last neighborhood before you reach I-205. And so that's where our neighborhood is. If I look even slightly familiar to you, it's because our neighborhood won the Spirit of Portland Award last year, last November. We do stuff out there like have a monthly litter patrol, and Commissioner Fritsch joined us a few months ago. This year, I think we picked up something like 1,700 pounds of litter in 8 or 10 months of doing this just once a month. I'm here today to talk to you about an issue I really don't want to talk about. That's an unpleasant and unfortunate situation. Basically, we have a business, a rogue business in our neighborhood. They are a septic waste pumper and processor, and they process the septage that they pump up out of septic tanks, bring it to a facility in our neighborhood, and process it and dump a lot of it down the sanitary sewer. They don't have a conditional use permit to do this at this location. And so they've just begun the process of seeking the conditional use permit. So that's the basic reason that I'm here. This 5-page handout has a bunch of details. If you would just flip for a moment to page 4. This is a color-coded version of what was in the recent conditional use pre-application conference that was held about a week ago down the street. And I'll hold it up for everyone else. There's like a red square in the middle of this, and then there's a yellow section along the top that's all zoned industrial, and then there's a green area in the bottom part, and that's all residential. This particular facility is in an industrial zone. They need a conditional use permit, but it is very, very close to the residential part of our neighborhood. That nearest square, catty corner, is an 8-unit apartment complex. There's a high school 2 blocks away to the west. There's chronic odor issues and health issues and other things. Was that beep? Was that my 3 minutes?
No, that was a garbage truck back here. So go ahead and continue.
Okay. So this, there's a timeline that's included in the handout. There's details where we've basically worked with BDS. So I'm here for 3 reasons. The first reason is to praise the hard work of city employees and BES and BDS who have helped us navigate to this point in the process, trying to get this rogue business compliant and possibly moved out of the neighborhood because the site is really not suitable. On the second page, you can see all of the areas where they simply cannot comply at this site with the requirements of a waste-related use conditional use permit. In particular, I want to call out Matt Grum in your office, Commissioner Saltzman, for his help in connecting some dots for us. It's been very helpful. BES and BDS came to our neighborhood meeting in September. And so the second reason I'm mentioning this is to give you early warning in case the hearings officer approves a conditional use permit. That might be in April or so, based on the timeline that I'm aware of. This could be coming before you in May or June. And, the neighborhood is unified against this business operating in this way in our neighborhood. It's much too close. Patricia's going to speak to you next about the specifics of the odor there. The last thing is that I want to ask the council to consider taking other steps to prevent such rogue businesses from operating in neighborhoods like this in the future. For example, for whatever reason, the city quit accepting septage directly at the waste treatment facility on North Columbia Boulevard. I don't know why that is, but it's having unintended consequences in our neighborhood, very close to residential property, impacting the use of our backyards, opening the windows during warm weather, really basic stuff. The other suggestion is providing some way for quicker action for shutting down businesses that are not in compliance with land use laws, conditional use permit process. These guys are being brought in compliance. BDS is operating faster, they say, than they've ever had before on a land use issue. But, it's still months and months of really nasty human raw waste septage smell in our neighborhood.
We appreciate your presentation, and because it is potentially an item that comes before us, we're not allowed to. It's appropriate that we listen, but not talk.
Right, and I didn't expect any speaking. That's part of the instructions I saw on the clerk's website.
But thank you for your presentation and your advocacy and leadership in the neighborhood.
Yeah, thank you. And thank you for your public service and your time and the opportunity to speak to you here.
Thank you. Can you please read the title to item number 1142?
Request of Patricia Irvin to address council regarding a septic pumper business and its impact on neighborhood livability.
Hi, welcome.
Hi.
Maggie?
As Scott said, I'm Patricia. I live about a block away from WTS. We've been in our house about 5.5 years now. We bought into a mixed residential, we're on the edge of the residential neighborhood and industrials right there, which we understood and we're fine with. Our next door neighbor's a concrete company. We have good communication with them. And, you know, we're used to living next to industrial. We have a large backyard because we're on an older piece of land. Our house was built in 1941. So we get to enjoy this large backyard with the old walnut tree. And anyway, it was all going great until about a year ago. WTS moved in on this lot that was previously, they were just leasing trucks in the area. We noticed a lot of activity. We weren't informed of this new business coming in. We didn't know what they were doing. Heard a lot of loud noises. They have these pumps that when they pump out their tanks for whatever reason, for maintenance, for emptying, they're really loud. It's like rocks being sucked up a vacuum and this loud simultaneous siren, and it goes on for 3 and 4 hours. I can't even hold a phone conversation. I live and work at my house. My office, unfortunately, faces north, which normally provides a nice view of Mount St. Helens and nice cool breezes in the summer. Our largest modern window is on in that room. Last summer, that window was shut day, night. We couldn't open it. We actually stuffed whatever we could into the seals of that window. You know, like I said, we're in an older home. We don't have air conditioning. We weren't able to open our windows, even in our bedroom at night, to cool the house off. We had 90 degree temperatures in the house because we had to keep it closed day and night. When we walk out in our backyard off the back deck, where normally I would enjoy a cup of coffee in the morning, I was hit with raw septage smell, especially if the winds came from the north, which is what we get in the summer a lot of times to cool off, which is normally great. But it was overwhelming. I don't have a history of illness. I never have. I have an iron gut, have all my life. I have days of nausea now. I have to cut my work day short. Like I said, I work for myself, so when I can't work, I can't make money. I can't pay my bills. The noises from the pumps, I started getting migraines. Again, never happened. I work on computers all day long. I don't get that. So that's basically my personal experiences. My neighbor around the corner said she couldn't tend to her vegetable garden as often as she normally did. She has a nice, big, huge backyard. Again, the smell was so bad, she said she couldn't breathe and had to go in the house. And this is a young girl, young, healthy girl. All of our normal backyard activities just couldn't happen this year. We couldn't invite people over. We just couldn't stay in our backyard, in our front yard either, for that matter. Normally, we would just try and leave the house as often as we could, which isn't feasible.
I apologize for interrupting, but I need you to wrap up.
Okay. Helen's View High School's around the corner, and the principal there has described a rancid smell. Broadway Cab is on the adjacent property, and the septic smell comes into their building through their air system. They had to cancel their outdoor company picnics. My neighbor across the street described the smell so thick inside his house, he said it was like eating it. That's exactly what he said, and I guess I'm done.
Thank you very
Thank
much.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. Can you please read the title for item number 1143?
Request of Shabri Vickers to address council regarding Young Professionals of Portland Civic Involvement Month 2011 proclamation.
Hi, welcome. Would you like to say a few words before I read the proclamation?
Sure. Hello, thank you. I'm Seth Warren, president of Young Professionals of Portland. Young Professionals of Portland delivers a forum for Portland area professionals to connect, learn, and lead. We are passionate about building your professional network, fortifying your resume, identifying mentors, and helping you get involved in your civic community. We embrace diversity, dignity, and respect, and it is our commitment to lift each other up to inspire and nurture professional and personal development.
Hi, my name is Shabri Vickers. I'm the Vice President of Civic Involvement for Young Professionals of Portland, and also as a representative of one of the 12 nonprofits that we choose every year, YPOP has been extremely beneficial for us as a local nonprofit, and we have, in the past couple years, gotten over 50 new people to become big brothers and big sisters in our community, which is huge. That's 50 new lives impacted, young children. And so Civic Involvement Month for us is a month that we look to ensure that our 5,400 member base is introduced to many different nonprofits here in the local Portland area and given many different opportunities to volunteer their time. Thank you.
All right, I'm now pleased to read the following proclamation in recognition of your work. Whereas young professionals in our Portland community come together and provide fresh perspectives in their everyday workplace, whereas they continue to be an integral part of our community through passionate engagement and civic involvement, and whereas young professionals of Portland are innovative thinkers and contribute to the economy and the community, and whereas they are the lifeblood that will perpetuate the city's engagement in local and regional issues that make a difference in our community, whereas not only do the young professionals of Portland work here, but they live here and plan to grow their families here to become future leaders, and whereas these emerging leaders come together in many ways throughout the year, and whereas to continue to ensure we continue to be a viable city through their outreach and to help us move forward, now therefore I, Sam Adams, Mayor of the City of Portland, Oregon, the City of Roses, do hereby proclaim November 2011 to be Young Professionals of Portland Civic Involvement Month in Portland and encourage all residents to observe this month. Congratulations. And let me give you a copy of this. We'll now consider the consent agenda. Does anyone wish to pull any items from the consent agenda?
I'd like to pull 1156.
And 1153 was also requested.
Okay, 1156 is pulled and 1153 is pulled. Anybody else? Any other item? Can you please call the vote on the remaining consent agenda items?
Leonard?
Aye.
Aye.
Fish?
Aye.
Saltzman?
Aye.
Adams?
Aye. Consent agenda is approved. We have three time certains, beginning with 1144.
Proclaim November 2nd, 2011 to be National Congress of American Indians Day in Portland.
Commissioner Amanda Fritz.
Thank you, Mayor Adams. And I think the representatives from the National Congress of American Indians were not able to be here, so Stephanie Mendoza-Gray from our Office of Government Relations will be taking greetings to them at the Convention Center. The National Congress of American Indians is holding its 68th annual conference in Portland this week. 30 years have passed since they last gathered in the City of Roses, and as a side, we are very grateful for their business here at the Oregon Convention Center. Since its formation in 1944, the National Congress of American Indians has worked to inform the public and Congress on the governmental rights of American Indians and Alaska Natives, to enlighten the public towards the better understanding of the Indian people, and to promote the common welfare of the American Indian and Alaska Natives. The theme of this year's conference is Footprints into the Future, creating a path to a new era of tribal prosperity for future generations. This weekend, I had the privilege and honor to participate in the opening ceremonies along the shores of the Willamette River, a historic event that was hosted by the Executive Committee of the Affiliated Tribes of Northwest Indians. As I listened to the traditional canoe drums and songs and witnessed the canoe family landings, then walked in the procession from Waterfront Park to the Convention Center, I was struck by a strong feeling of community and rich traditions. It was an important reminder of the deep connection the City of Portland has with the native people of this region. We share many community, economic, and natural resources concerns, challenges that are not confined by political boundaries. As governments, we must continue to work together to find solutions to our shared challenges to protect and promote the health and well-being of all who reside here. And together, we will also celebrate our successes. So therefore, the mayor is now going to read the proclamation that is referenced in the title.
And whereas Native Americans, the indigenous peoples, and original stewards of this land have resided in the Columbian Willamette River Basin since time immemorial, and whereas there are nearly 60,000 people descended from more than 380 tribes in the Portland area Native community, and whereas the National Congress of American Indians was founded in 1944 in response to United States termination and assimilation policies that was, quote, forced upon tribal governments in contradiction of their treaty rights and status as sovereigns, unquote. And whereas since their founding, the National Congress of American Indians has been diligent in informing the public and U.S. Congress on the governmental rights of American Indians and Alaska Natives, working to restore and preserve rights under American treaties or agreements with the United States and promoting the common welfare of the American Indians and Alaska Natives. And whereas since their founding, the National Congress of American Indians has been diligent in informing the public and U.S. Congress of treaties and agreements of common welfare. And whereas Portland was selected as the host city for the National Congress of American Indians 68th Annual Conference being held from October 30th to November 2nd, the first time in over 30 years that the National Congress of American Indians has been in Portland, and whereas the City of Portland is honored and privileged to have the American Congress of American Indians Annual Conference in Portland and is deeply respectful of the sovereignty of tribal governments, and whereas Native Americans have contributed immeasurably to our country, state, and city's heritage, distinguishing themselves as scholars, artists, entrepreneurs, and leaders. Now, therefore, I, Sam Adams, Mayor of the City of Portland, Oregon, the City of Roses, do hereby proclaim November 2nd, 2011, to be National Congress of American Indians Day in Portland and encourage all residents to observe this day. Thank you.
Stephanie, did you have any comments?
Yes. On behalf of the affiliated tribes of Northwest Indians and the leadership of the National Conference of American Indians, if you've looked at their program brochure, it's easily 30 pages, and they deeply regret, but they are extremely honored that this proclamation is declaring today NCAI Day. And so on their behalf, I will deliver the proclamation to them.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Carla, can you please read the second time certain non-emergency ordinance, item number 1145?
That is 10:30 time certain.
Oh, I'm sorry. We're ahead of schedule. That is great.
The first.
Ouch. Okay. Can you please read the title and call the vote for item number 1164?
Approve the designation of 6 trees as City of Portland Heritage Trees. Fritz?
Thanks to the Heritage Tree Committee and the Urban Forestry Commission, Commissioner Fish, for your leadership on this, for citizens for recognizing the value of nominating these important trees, and Michael McCloskey of the Urban Forestry Commission, who was with us last week. Aye.
Fish.
Mayor Adams, as I announced yesterday, Portland Parks and Rec received a tremendous honor and recognition from the two most prestigious national parks associations yesterday when we were selected as the gold medal recipient of in the category of large cities. And large cities are cities with a population of 250,000 or more. And we had stiff competition. Other jurisdictions that were nominated, including Miami-Dade, Kansas City, Missouri, and parts of North Carolina. As we at Portland Parks and Rec have been reflecting on the 160-year history of community involvement and support and investment in our park system, I'm reminded that the backbone of what we do is the support we have from citizens who support us with their time and their treasure time and time again and have helped us build this enviable system. And we are the current custodians and stewards of this system, but really it goes back to the 1850s when people had the foresight to sort of lay out the parameters. And I will say to my friend, Commissioner Leonard, I had the pleasure of going to the city archives on Friday and seeing a project that, frankly, it would not have happened without your leadership. In the And during my visit, I asked to see the original 1903 report that the Olmsted brothers submitted to the city. And so they pulled it out of the archives, and there it is, a typed document, the original, which I held. And what was fascinating was this was long before we had things like computers and printers. So the thing is replete with corrections in pencil and carrots and other things because they didn't want to have to retype it. But very few people have actually held that document. And that document and all the maps are there for the public to see. And in 1903, the Olmsted brothers had a vision for what this system could be. And 100 years later, thanks to the support of successive councils and leaders and the public, their vision has largely been realized. And it's really an extraordinary thing that they saw something that didn't exist, but felt, and particularly, I would say, the West Side Wildlife Corridor. The fact that from Forest Park to Riverview and then continuing out, we have this incredible linked system of wildlife corridor. So, you know, it's wonderful that we have these archives now in a proper facility. And I want to thank Commissioner Leonard and the council for the work they did on that. It's really exciting. I also want to thank, again, all the folks who over the century and a half have been the stalwart supporters, and just say how proud I am as the current commissioner to celebrate the success of so many others. And this item before us is just another example of why we become successful as a system. So thanks to Chair McCluskey and all the folks who volunteer their time to serve on the Heritage Tree through that process. Dan Saltzman every year tells me it's his favorite item that comes before us. And they did a marvelous job, Mayor, when you were in your absence of presenting this year's report. And I could not be prouder to serve as the commissioner in charge of this bureau. Aye.
Leonard?
I always appreciate the historical perspective. It makes what otherwise might be a boring subject very interesting. So thank you. Aye.
Saltzman.
Well, as Commissioner Fisk said, I want to thank the Urban Forestry Commission, the Heritage Tree Committee, and Portland Parks, and congratulations on that outstanding award. But this really is important to me to preserve trees that have either historical or just sheer overwhelming significance because of their size and stature. And I really appreciate when we preserve those trees. I appreciate when private property owners consent to protect those trees from here on out. And I really think these trees really are part of the character of the city, what makes us a great city. So I'm very pleased to support this again, enthusiastically. Aye.
Adams.
Good work. Aye. So approved. Let's knock out the minutes. So starting with 1167.
The auditor may not be here yet. Did you want to take care of the pulled items off of consent?
Yeah, but they're going to take, I think, longer than the 20 minutes we have. No, let's just work through them and read the title. And so, Mayor, can I just a point of order on this element?
Mm-hmm.
We technically, it's my understanding is we generally do not have a rule that allows a commission, a member of the council to abstain from an item or it's discouraged. Mm-hmm. And I've been reflecting on this in the context of minutes of proceedings that predated my service, for example.
Okay.
Normally, as a board member of a nonprofit, I would not vote on minutes of something that I did not participate in. Not that I couldn't go read the record and compare it to the notes, but I wonder if we could get some guidance from the city attorney's office on that, because I don't want my vote to be misconstrued, but I don't see someone, for example, in 2007, I don't see how I can vote to adopt minutes for a time that I wasn't serving.
We could do like I do and watch them on video every night.
So I want to move through this expeditiously.
You have a full
so
question,
can
right?
you please
so
have
DVD
a seat?
Absolutely.
Thank you, Commissioner Leonard. I think just not voting is an option as well. So
sorry, I ran up the stairs.
All right. This is pretty pro forma, so
good morning, Commissioners and Mayor Adams. LaVon Griffin-Willade, City Auditor. Here with me today is Council Clerk Carla Moore Love. So it's very straightforward, I think. We are here to present four sets of meeting minutes for your approval, 2007 through the first half of 2010. These are separated by year to facilitate commissioners being able to approve those they are comfortable signing off on. We brought forward 2007 and 2009, through 2009 minutes, for your approval last year, but we were asked to remove those from council agenda. So in the interim, Carla and Sue implemented a new process to add more scrutiny to the review of the closed captioning files. They have put in a great deal of work to clear up the backlog and are very close to being caught up. In addition, Carla and Sue have worked to have draft minutes of 2011 council sessions available more timely. 14 sets of draft minutes from 2011 have been posted to e-files thus far, and 20 sets are in the queue waiting for Carla's final review. So, and finally, I wanted to let you know that we are in the process of updating our website to significantly improve users' ability to quickly locate all council agenda-related files, including audio, video, agenda, disposition, minutes, resolutions, ordinances, and reports. And we look forward to introducing those changes to you and bureaus and the public in the very near future.
So on Commissioner Fish's concerns, do you have an opinion?
Mike, Roland.
Can't hear you.
Is this better?
Okay. So we looked at the issue, and we are not aware of any requirement that you have to have attended the meeting in order to vote on it. It was our understanding that these minutes were transcripts.
The closed, Carla Moore, love for the record, the closed captioning part of the is on the minutes.
Right. The question is, are we allowed to abstain?
Well, we don't generally as a... I
was looking through the rules. I did not see anything that discussed abstaining on a vote.
You can either not be present for a vote, but there is no abstention, at least in practice, and you've just answered in terms of it doesn't speak to it. So you can also, I think that you can also have the option of just voting no. So it's... really what you think is your judgment?
Or voting aye.
Voting aye. Yeah. Or, all right. So these the minutes are the closed captioning, and that's if people want to know, want to verify the closed captioning, they can look at the videos, right?
So I just have one other question.
I'm in the middle of asking.
The minutes are also part of the disposition, or include the disposition agenda. I have a paper copy if you'd like to see an actual minute, what the minutes look like. It's... the disposition, which is completed with, it shows who attended the meeting, so that's how we know who voted, and if somebody, what their vote was different, then we would put no in your name, or you were absent, maybe you left the room for that meeting, and then it goes into, you know, when the meeting adjourned, and then it's followed by the closed caption transcript, and that's the minutes that we're asking to approve. These don't include items like documents that were submitted for each item here. That would be with the documents itself, ordinances or resolutions.
So in terms of the official record, it is the video of what actually happened, or is it the minutes?
No, we're only required to keep the videos for a year, but we go back much further than that. We also have MP3 recordings, but the official minutes we're asking you to approve today are just what I described.
Right, but in terms of the official proceedings of the council, is that... what actually happened and what is contained in the video, or is it the minutes?
The minutes are considered the official.
And it, if I might, Mayor.
Well, Commissioner Fish had a question, and then Commissioner Fritz.
Thank you, Mayor. So maybe there's a way to simplify this just for my concerns. This says is a report. So you're asking us to accept the report that you are filing, and you are saying this is the... This is the
official minutes
that your office has prepared. Is that correct?
Yes.
So it's like, in that case, it's more of a public record that you're submitting, you're asking us to accept.
Exactly. It might be helpful if Carla sort of talked about what the ORS requires.
Right. It's ORS 192.650. It's the recording or written minutes are required, and we shall provide sound, video, or digital recording, and those are always available immediately for the public. The written minutes are, it says, it'll be neither a full transcript nor a full recording of the meeting is required. So our closed captioning is pretty much a full transcript. The captioners aren't what you would think of as probably
court reporters, not word for word, but they are very, very good. And we have been spending more time cleaning them up.
If I could just, so if we're accepting the report, then I have, then I think that solves my issue. We're accepting your report. Just a curious, though, if we accept the report and someone in the public then reviews these at some point and believes that you haven't captured accurately what they said or what we did, is there a process to amend these going forward?
We haven't talked in depth about doing that because once we finish them and they're official, we put them into e-files. We can easily go in there and get them back out, but I would have to think it would have to be something major wrong. If someone had said voted aye instead of no, that would be something we would certainly change, and maybe a case-by-case basis.
No, Mayor Adams, at least it's not like what the records we have in the archives, if I can mention that again, which are actually handwritten in books. And so I don't know how they...
Aren't they summaries?
They're summaries, but they are handwritten in a book that's bound, and so there wasn't any room for mistakes. But I'm satisfied that I can vote yes to accept the report.
Commissioner Fritz?
Well, I think that's a good illustration, Commissioner Fish, in that the old records are in books which people can go look at and which are in summary form, so you can read the whole days in a relatively short time. I greatly appreciate the work that the auditor and the council clerk staff have been doing on this project, and we have been discussing it multiple times. I also recognize that this predated your service as city auditor, Auditor Griffin-Villade, so that you are catching up from previous delays in adopting the minutes. I think we have to get back to the public purpose of minutes. And when I have been a neighborhood association board member for many years, the neighborhood associations are required to turn in written minutes on a monthly basis, and there are sanctions if they don't. And the reason for that is that anybody in the public needs to be able to find out what happened without reading through the entire transcript or without watching the entire video or even going online. I have a secondary concern. I've learned from you that the video isn't kept forever because of changing formats. So if there is then a question about transcriptioning, where there are some errors in the captioning on a week-by-week basis, that we're not able to correct them in a timely manner, nor are citizens who come in to testify. That it seems like we're not where we need to be in terms of public process and having citizens have easy access, particularly recognizing that not everybody has access to e-files. So I hope that we can continue to work on this. And what I would like to see is on a month-by-month basis, having the previous month's minutes so that my staff and I can look through them. I'm not able to support even accepting the report because my staff hasn't had the opportunity to go through every single one to make the corrections that... may need to be made.
So as we've discussed before, the issue with summaries, for instance, is that the person who is writing the summaries, it's very subjective. They are summarizing what they think they've heard and it can be relatively accurate, but it could also be inaccurate. So in addition to that, we don't have the staff available. This is already to try and deal with the backlog has really pressed Carla and Sue for time considerably. And so we are working away at this. It's unfortunate that there was a backlog. It's unfortunate that there are these concerns, but we're doing the best we can with, I think, the technology that's available. And I also believe that the video provides ample opportunity for folks to go back and review. So I think that it's not a perfect system, that's for sure. Again, we're doing the very best that we can to make it accessible, more accessible to you and to the public.
So if I could just summarize. So under Oregon law, this satisfies the requirements under Oregon law. In terms of what actually happened, it's a combination of the minutes and other either audio or video recordings. I'm looking to you to say yes.
And in this case, we have a transcript.
Right. The closed caption.
Again, it's a combination of the minutes, which are the transcripts, and audio and video recordings. That is how we... this satisfies Oregon law, but in terms of what actually happened, it's a combination of those three.
And in addition... Right? Oh, I'm sorry.
I assume that's the case here.
Yeah.
And also a double check by both Sue and Carla.
Right.
And I've never had a citizen or anybody call and not be able to get minutes out of us. Those minutes are available. If you can't find them in e-files, you call us and we can get you those. The closed caption file is usually available the next day. I've never had anybody complain about minutes not being available or done or anybody getting them to them.
The reason that I asked that question is that in the case of lawsuits and when you're mayor, you take a lot of suits on behalf of the city. I think everyone would want to make it really clear. We do this to satisfy Oregon requirements, but in terms of what actually happened under the law, it's a combination of this, combination of audio and video recordings. All right.
Yeah. So if I could just expand on that last point, Carla. So you have minutes available for people at any given meeting past 2007.
Right. Sue usually finishes up the disposition portion of that agenda within a day. If it's a Thursday meeting, it's usually available by Friday. And then the closed caption usually comes in within a day or two. And we can give them a draft of that.
So this is just a perfunctory requirement of the state and not one necessarily that is a source that people rely on to get an accurate description of any particular council meeting.
They could use it for that.
There are other means.
MP3, the video.
So I would make an observation. I've been in one elective office or another for nearly 20 years. I have had numerous occasions to need to go back to whether I was in the state Senate or the Oregon House to get actual verbatim testimony that either makes a point that I was trying to make at the time or refutes a point somebody else is trying to make. And I've served with committee staff in the Oregon legislature and now the auditor's office here. I know of nobody who ever has done research trying to make a point that would rely on minutes when there are MP3 files available or video available if you're actually trying to find out what happened during a meeting. And I would go one step further that I think that the staff here has been by far the most professional and responsive of any of the elective offices I have ever held at state or local government. I take some umbrage at the suggestion that there's something improper here. I think if anything's improper, it's how it's being characterized or mischaracterized. I will sit here and listen to a lot of stuff being said and become increasingly silent about it over the last year. This one I will take exception to. I don't think it's a fair, I just don't think it's fair to suggest that something proper is not being done. And I appreciate the work that, of course, the auditor does, but auditors come and go. It's the staff that on a day-to-day basis keeps this place going. And I think Carl and Sue do a great job, and I appreciate it.
Thank you.
All right, unless there's additional council discussion.
I just have a clarifying question. So are we going to, on an ongoing basis, now that we'll be almost caught up when we are caught up, will we be having batches of minutes on the consent agenda so that we can check them in a more timely manner?
Sue's been sending them specifically to one of your staff persons. We've got, you know, those to you electronically.
But would we be able to approve them on a month-by-month basis? Because that would actually have the public purpose.
I don't think that's not realistic. It really is not.
And can you tell the public why that's not realistic?
Because we don't have enough staff to be able to do that.
They can ask for them. It's
well, when you're caught up, I mean, however long it is, even if it was in 2 months later, I just have a concern about doing a whole year's minutes at one time moving forward.
And so our goal is to bring in bunches more often than that. We are just about ready to bring the second half of 2010. And it's
half of 2011 as well.
And many of the 2011 are up, are online or about to be. We are, again, working at this very diligently. And in terms of priorities, I think that the most significant priority that Sue and Carla have is to make sure your meetings come off without a hitch and to make sure that they're done professionally and follow the prescribed process. So that's the number one priority, that and being the elegant professionals that they are.
All right, additional council discussion. Does anyone wish to testify on items 1167 to 1170?
No one signed up.
Sue, can you just start rolling through?
1167, Leonard.
I think you have to read the title.
Or we haven't
and
read
then
it,
call
yeah.
the vote. Sorry.
Sure.
If you could read the title and call the vote.
1167, approve council minutes for calendar year 2007. Leonard?
Aye.
Fritz? Fish?
Aye.
Salzman?
Well, I just want to underscore my appreciation for the work of the auditor and Carla and Sue and doing the job as elegant professionals as they are. I like that. Aye.
Adams?
Aye. Can you please read the title and call the vote for 1168?
1168, approve council minutes for calendar year 2008. Leonard?
Aye.
Fritz? Fish?
Aye.
Salzman?
Aye.
Adams?
Aye. Can you please read the title and call the vote for 1169?
Approve council minutes for calendar year 2009. Leonard?
Aye.
Fritz? Fish?
Aye.
Salzman?
Aye.
Adams?
Aye. Can you please read the title and call the vote for 1170?
Approve council minutes for January through June 2010. Leonard?
Well, just to put an exclamation point on my prior remarks, I have a hard time sometimes sitting here putting up with us. I don't know how Carla and Sue do it year out.
May I second that motion? May I second that motion in the spirit of which is a friendly amendment, Commissioner Leonard?
I sometimes...
It does include everybody up here, right?
It includes myself included. I don't lack the quality of self-awareness. Because I actually watch myself sometimes and I shudder.
That's not a good idea.
So we sit here some nights till, I don't know, 10, 11 o'clock at night, bleary-eyed, and I always look down, and they're attentive, doing their work. And, again, it's the most professional work I've seen done in nearly 20 years of elective office. And any information I've ever needed, I haven't even had to bother the auditor's office. I can go right to the webpage and get whatever I need. And I'm sure Portlanders understand that and appreciate that. And understand that what's being done here is really more of a technical requirement for the state, but anything they want, whether it's in writing or audio or video, is available to them immediately. Thank you for your work.
I want you to know that we actually set up the website so you wouldn't
have been bothered.
Okay.
Fritz, Fish?
Carla, my advice, as my prior life, I was a employment lawyer, so my advice is tab this part of the transcript and have it available next time you have a salary negotiation process with the city, because I think in addition to being elegant, you are masterful in structuring this hearing. But since, for some reason, this has become a larger referendum on our clerks, I would simply say I share the views of others that it is a privilege to work with you and the team, and I hope you don't construe my questions about whether I could vote on something I didn't serve as any kind of criticism. I was actually sincerely
you're just being a lawyer,
knowing whether I could actually do that, since I wasn't here and would have no basis to know. But thank you very much for your good work. Aye.
Salzman.
Aye.
Adams.
Well, I've had the opportunity to work with you both for a very long time, and I want you to know not only do I concur with all the comments about your professionalism and your dedication and your hard work, but you're also, I think everyone would agree as well, incredibly wonderful to work with. So thank you very much. The fact that you've gone through and sought to improve upon all the transcripts really shows your dedication and our collective wish to get things right. But we also know that it's, as Commissioner Leonard said, it's when you want to look at context and you want to look at everything else, it's going to be always be much easier to listen to the tape than it is to sort of read it, even if you transcribed every word, to read it and get it out the next day. So I think, you know, offering these options for folks to find out exactly what happened is the best I've seen. and having worked for a member of Congress, I mean that also, and the legislature, I mean that in comparison to both of those bodies as well. So I'm very grateful, and I want to thank you. Aye. 1170 is approved. Oh, it's not the long one. It says 15 minutes. Okay.
Two members of the commission.
Oh, I didn't know that. Yeah. Can you please read the title for resolution item number 1165?
Prescribe a public hearing process in accordance with section 13-302 of the City of Portland Charter.
Commissioner Dan Salzman.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. The Charter Commission co-chair, Mark White, asked my office to introduce a resolution to meet this council's charter mandate to set a public hearings process for the Charter Commission. The resolution before us today lays out a proposed charter hearings process. Specifically, the Charter Commission shall have at least two hearings for each proposed charter amendment they are considering, with the exception of certain housekeeping items they are currently reviewing. They will have available to the public at least 1 week prior and following the hearings, the amendment language, and an impartial narrative summarizing the proposed amendment. They will set their hearings on either weekday evenings or weekend. They will notify local media about the hearings, and they will provide at least 2 weeks' notice of any scheduled hearings. In addition, this resolution encourages the Charter Commission to televise their hearings and to hold their hearings in different geographical locations. So I'd like to invite up Sue Pierce, who is the newly elected co-chair of the Charter Commission, and I see Joanne Hardesty, who is a member of the commission, in the audience. I don't know if she wanted to come up, too.
Hi, welcome back.
Good morning. I'm Susan Pierce, co-chair of the Charter Commission. And would like to, actually I brought some handouts if I could break for a moment to give those to Carla. My comments are going to reflect comments that came to me by email from fellow Charter Commission members, and if I have time left, I'll add my own personal comments. The first thing is that I'm handing out a request that comes from me and one or two other commission members who are members of the housekeeping committee, who just ask that we add to that list of housekeeping amendments sections number 2-108 and 13-301. These are housekeeping amendments that we discussed in yesterday's committee meeting. And so we just like to get them on the record as things that we could look at. And I gave that to you. Those are the ones in red.
You got it.
What do those reference? What are they about?
The 13-301 is asks that in the future Charter Commission members be appointed for terms of 2 years. And I can talk a little bit more about the why of that if you'd like, or continue on with my other comments. And the other one, I'll have to look up quickly here.
I would argue that the terms and method of appointment of the Charter Commission is more than a housekeeping amendment.
And I actually am not going to argue with you on that because I think that's not a point well taken. It has been addressed within the commission as a housekeeping item because it's added to an existing section, as are the rest.